Fasten your seatbelts. It's going to be a bumpy night.
To infinity and beyond!
I just love finding new places to wear diamonds.
I could have been a contender. I could have been somebody.
There is no place like home.
Life was like a box of chocolates. You never know what you're going to get.
Time to go behind the scenes of another movie classic, and boy, is it a classic this week. Let's have a listen.
How's it going? What are you doing?
Posh.
What?
Posh.
What's wrong with it?
Nothing. It's good.
Then what are you doing with it?
I'm just helping. It's a little fuzzy.
May I have it?
I don't think you're saying what you mean.
I know exactly what I mean.
Not here. I can't tell from this whether Hunt works for Coulson or Coulson works for Hunt.
May I have it?
Please tell me the conclusions.
May I have it?
Yes, I'm not looking for a fight.
I'm not looking for a fight either. I'm
just aware of the fact that you've only been here 9 months.
What has that got to do with anything?
Well, I've been in the business since I'm 16.
What are you saying?
Well, I'm trying to tell you that if you'd read mine and then read yours...
May I read yours?
Yeah. I walked by, gave yours a glance. It didn't look right, so I just figured I'd refine it a little. That first paragraph has to have more clarity. The reader's going to understand it. You don't mention Coulson's name to the third paragraph. I think mine's better, but you go ahead and read it. If you think yours is better, we'll give yours to the desk. I've got Coulson's name up front. He's a White House consultant, and nobody knows
right.
it. Yours is better.
I love that clip. It's beautifully procedural, yet an integral part to the film. It's from All the President's Men, which had a stellar cast featuring Robert Redford, Dustin Hoffman, Hal Holbrook, Jason Robards, Bill Hughes, a television producer with Mind the Gap Films. Bill, good morning.
Good morning, Jonathan. Yeah, it's
what a
real
cracker.
Classic.
Yeah, it really is. And it's one of those films that it just was in the zeitgeist in the 70s, that Nixon had just gone and people were obsessed with the journalist that brought him down.
Well, as the story was breaking, the actual story in 72, Robert Redford was promoting a film called The Candidate, and he was going into pre-production on The Way We Were. And he was closely following the story that Woodward and Bernstein were telling in the Washington Post. And then when they wrote the book, he jumped in and bought the rights straight away. And at the time, he paid $450,000, which is millions by today's money. So it showed that he had faith in doing it. And he brought in William Goldman to do the screenplay, and hired Alan J. Pakula as the director. So he started to pull the whole thing together. This is very much Redford's vehicle. And when he was trying to cast it, he decided that Al Pacino was going to play opposite him. But the more he got into it, the more he realized this is actually a role perfect for Dustin Hoffman. So he brought Dustin Hoffman in. Now, you got to realize that at the time, Robert Redford was the biggest male star in the world. He had done Butch Cassidy. He had done The Sting. He had done The Way We Were. He was like box office gold. So nobody would argue with him. And he was also a tremendous producer. And as a result, having set up Wildwood Enterprises, he decided to produce this film through his own company. So everybody wanted to be part of it, but not everybody wanted to do what he wanted them to do in it. So there was a lot of arm wrestling. Like Hal Holbrook, for instance, did not want the part of Deep Throat. He didn't get it. On the page, he didn't get it. So Redford had to go to his house and explain to him that when people leave the cinema, the one character they're going to be talking about is Deep Throat. So you'd be mad not to play this part. But when it came to who was going to play Ben Bradley, the editor of the boss of the Washington Post, I mean, that just became like a lottery because everybody was up for the part. Carl Malden, John Forsyth, Leslie Nielsen, Henry Fonda, Richard Widmark, Christopher Plummer, Anthony Quinn, Gene Hackman, Burt Lancaster, Robert Stack, Robert Mitchum, and Telly Savalas, for God's sake. They were all up for the part. I know. They were all up for the part of Ben Bradley, but they decided it's got to be Jason Robards. And Jason Robards was not the choice of Ben Bradley himself, who was going to play me. You know, he wanted to know who. And his instruction to Jason Robards was, just don't make me look like an asshole. And then Jason Robards won the Oscar for playing that, the part.
Well, that is arguably the cry of newspaper editors around the world when anybody is portraying them outside. What worked really well in this film was the interaction between the two leads, between Redford and Hoffman. And they put a lot of effort into it, didn't they?
Oh, they did. They fully learned each other's part. They learned the script verbatim entirely, the two, so that they were able to jump in and out of each other's script, to interrupt each other in a most naturalistic way, which is what people would do in real life. But it was very disconcerting for all the established members of the cast, the Martin Balsams, you know, the people who were looking on going, my God, these two guys are on fire. And it was very hard. Nobody could compete with the pair of them when they were going at it. But that was what was really good. And throughout the filming, Jason Robards realized that, listen, Ben Bradley could easily be pushed to the side in this, even though he's a key character. He could be pushed to the side. So he decided he would come in on his days off when Ben Bradley wasn't needed for a scene, but he would sit in the office as Ben Bradley reading a book, so that in the wide shots he would be seen in the office, so that he was never absent from the screen. And that was a decision Jason Robards made. So this was highly competitive. There was a lot of testosterone on the set of this
film. I've got to say, probably another policy of news editors is to make sure that they're always seen in the background as well, even if they're not working particularly hard at that moment. We have a second clip, Bill. Set this up. What's happening here?
Well, at this stage, the whole deep throat character has become so important because he's leaking to the Robert Redford character. And Robert Redford goes to an underground car park in the dead of night to get his latest outpouring of what's going on. And so here's Deep Throat giving him a revelation and a warning.
It was a Haldeman operation. The whole business was run by Haldeman, the money, everything. It won't be easy getting at him. He was insulated. You'll have to find out how. Mitchell started doing covert stuff before anyone else. The list is longer than anyone can imagine. It involves the entire U.S. intelligence community, FBI, CIA, Justice. It's incredible. Cover-up had little to do with Watergate. It was mainly to protect the covert operations. Leads everywhere. Get out your notebook. There's more. Your lives are in danger.
And it's the breathiness. It's all your lives are in danger. I love it. It's brilliant. It really is. And the funny thing is, it didn't win the Oscar, of course. And the film that won it that year.
Well, in the 1980s, there was a poll taken of the Academy voters, and they were asked to revisit the decisions they made in the 70s. And the key decision that was almost unanimous among Academy voters was that they gave the best Oscar film, the best film, to the wrong film that year. Instead of giving it to All the President's Men, they gave it to Rocky. And they were mortified that
in hindsight, they would be. Bill Hughes, television producer of Mind the Gap Films. Thanks for reminding us of a great film.